This is North Shore Today. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Our guest today, Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt.
I have an open door, and we meet on a wide number of issues. Just this afternoon, for example, where I'm meeting with a couple of councils, we're talking about a couple of downtown projects. And we meet regularly, a few of us, on downtown issues, Centennial Park issues, and other things that pop up day to day. So,
Mayor Ted Betancourt with us today on North Shore Today. Well, Rick Moore, good to see you on Tuesday. And I know what, as far as news on the North Shore, we can begin in the city of Gloucester.
Hi, Bill. Thank you. Don't mind if I do. Interesting headline in the Gloucester Daily Times: schools, family at odds on resolution offer. Now, what's interesting about this is that there's a family in Gloucester who is suing the city of Gloucester due to the fact that their five-year-old special needs student was left on a school bus for 2 hours or more in sub-freezing temperatures last January. And the school bus monitor and the school bus driver apparently didn't know the girl was on the bus. They left the bus, and the little kid was left on there for more than 2 hours. So the family is contemplating suing the city of Gloucester. Now, Joe Orlando Jr. is an attorney in Gloucester who's also running for city council, which makes it kind of interesting because there's a potential here for him to be representing a family suing the city while he runs for city council. Now, it's been in the article written by Ray Lamont. It mentioned the fact that the city may be sued for $1 million by this family. Meantime, the city has offered as a settlement to the family, and they want the family to write off on this and say that's it, all done, a quit, what do they call it, a quit clause. They've offered the family $679.80, which is reimbursement for mileage for alternative transportation. Now, I'm guessing that that means that they would say, okay, you get your own transportation, we'll pay you $679.80 for the year. And the family, meantime, is contemplating a $1 million lawsuit. So this is, the article anyway mentions, you know, a little bit of a heated exchange between one of the attorneys involved and the city. But this is gonna be interesting if this gets if this goes along, because you've got an attorney representing a family who's suing the city while the attorney is running for city council. I don't think I've ever heard anything like that before.
And it really points out the real issue. Well, not the real issue here, but an issue here of the enormous number of, let's say, special needs students that go to and from school every day, and the fact that you have a staff mess up, and that's what it appears to be. I don't think there's any other way to describe it. And, you know, this stuff, I'm not saying this stuff happens, but, I mean, it should never happen. But it just goes to show that, I mean, everybody makes a mistake at some juncture or some context of their life and of oversight or whatever. But it just goes to show that that you just cannot, you know, that there's somehow or other, this is serious stuff, not to check the bus. And it goes to show, I think, that so many people must do exactly what they need to do every single day, because it doesn't happen every single day or anywhere near that. It's just,
well, I got to tell you, Bill, I've got a history with this. My son, who's Down syndrome, was bused a long time ago to the nearest school was in West Peabody, and at the time I lived in Essex. And in fact, they didn't lose him, but they got lost. They didn't know where he lived, and so he was on the bus for 5 hours after school one day, and his mom and I, what we wanted were guarantees that this would never happen again. The bus company couldn't give us guarantees. We even had the state police looking for him that day, and it's very scary. He was nonverbal. So what we decided to do was to get him out of that school system. We just couldn't do it anymore, and we tried to we actually started a program with Connie Perrigo in Essex. Connie started the program for severe special needs kids in Essex, and so he was able to stay home and ride the local school bus. So I can empathize with the parents in that you want guarantees that this will never happen again, and it seems to me the logical out, and I'm just guessing, I don't know, just an opinion, would be for the city to say, okay, we'll pay you for transportation, get your private transportation and submit the bills and we'll pay it. That kind of would make sense, I guess, but I'm not involved in any of that stuff. And so from also I'm an educator, so I know that stuff happens. It shouldn't, but it does. So this is going to be difficult to settle this one, I think, and to figure it out. And then, you know, the added perspective of it is I know Joe Orlando Jr. He's a very honorable guy and a very nice man. And he is running for city council. He's really enthusiastic about living in this city but also defending his clients. So this is complicated.
Yeah. Right. We'll see. So we'll see how that one plays. I know locally down in Saugus, for example, there's a story, a totally unrelated story in the item today about the master plan and how it got approved at a council meeting, it appears. The planning board voted unanimously on Monday to accept the master plan for the development and the proposal for a mixed-use development to be located on Broadway, which 1591 Broadway, which is that Route 1 miniature golf place, which is on Route 1 South, which is going to be taken down and redeveloped. So it's a multi-use piece, but the planning board has moved that along in the town of Saugus, as I guess you would expect after that announcement. I guess developers have pretty good assurance when they're proposing certain things that certain things will go through. And so Route 1 changes a little bit, I guess, or will be changing a little bit in the years to come.
Well, the cactus is still there at the hilltop, and at least at the moment, the dinosaur is still there at the golf place.
Yeah, exactly right. Still there. Yeah, right. The last time I was there, it was still there, and I was surprised. I thought they would take that down, but maybe that's the kind of thing that upsets a town to take that down. So we'll see.
That's right. Priorities, you know, what's important.
Yeah. Don't take that dinosaur. You want to build there, but just leave the dinosaur. But,
oh yeah. Listen, I did meet with Mayor Betancourt in Peabody yesterday, Bill. Very cordial meeting. He's a great host, and I want to give a shout out to Daryl McCarthy too. Daryl's son is playing for Peabody High School, playing football. He's a junior, and I guess made his first catch as a tight end the other night in a win. So pretty cool there. But the mayor has several topics that he talks about, and is a pretty good update. We're gonna have that in our program this morning. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I'll tell you what. I know we have some other news to talk about out of Winthrop, and why don't we check in with Mayor Betancourt now, and then we'll come back and do some of that in just a moment. So hang in there with us. It's Tuesday, and this is North Shore Today.
Back in the office of Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsSports.com. And Mr. Mayor, catching up on things, I'm trying to find stuff about Peabody, what's going on, and it's hard to find bad news, I guess, which I guess is kind of, no news that gets out there. I guess it's a fairly good thing for you, but I know it's not quiet for you, but in terms of news stuff, things are rolling along pretty well.
Well, Rick, it's great to be with you. And yes, I think we have a lot of positive things happening in the city. Certainly there's, little roadblocks we run into and speed bumps, but I think some good things are happening in the city. And I'm glad that you're not hearing much good bad news. That's great to hear. But happy to be with you.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate your having us in here again. I did notice in researching to try to find out things that are going on that you have instituted a new emergency call program called Code Red. Gloucester has that. Other communities have it as well. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about the genesis of that and how it's used.
Sure. This was something that I felt was definitely needed, particularly after this past winter. Last winter was obviously, I don't need to rehash that, and nor do I want to, but it was very difficult, and we ran into a number of community issues, a number of emergencies that we needed to get word out to people quickly as to what was taking place. And we were running into trouble getting word out to all of the residents. We have some different communication systems, the police, and our cable and all of that. We were able to get some word out, but we weren't able to get to all of our residents. So we started looking at other cities and towns, and Code Red was something that many cities and towns, you mentioned a couple, utilize. And it's a way for us to reach out to, within seconds, 30,000 people in the city, 30,000 homes and residents. And we use it for emergencies, certainly if there's power outages or if there's water breaks, or certainly are any police or fire notifications that need to be sent out. But also it's great for community messaging. When we have our festivals or some other events that are taking place in the city, we're able to get the word out as well. So it's been great. We've been utilizing it quite a bit. And as we get now into the colder winter months, certainly there's going to be a need for it, and we think it's a good system.
I have a couple of questions on that because I really don't know how it works. Number one is, can you operate it remotely? In other words, if you're stuck at home for some reason, the emergency hasn't vehicles haven't picked you up to bring you in during a storm, can you activate it remotely?
Yes, I can. We have that ability. There's five people in the city that are allowed to send out messages from remote.
Question.
Yes, it's myself. It is our police chief, our fire chief, our Department of Public Works director, and our health director. Those have access that they can send out any type of emergency or community messaging. Okay. And, it's a very simple system. It's actually amazing how it works. We can just go on to our link to the computer, and we can get out messages within minutes. Mm-hmm. And we can send it to the city citywide, which I think right now we have about 35,000 people that are our phone numbers that we can reach, which we have 52,000 residents in the city, so we're reaching a majority of those. And but we can narrow it down to a ward, to a neighborhood, to even a street. We can get out messaging that way, too, and reduce the size and scope of it.
Right. Is there a logbook? In other words, so if let's say the police chief has to get something out right away, then he would contact you, or you would be notified by the code red?
They would go notify me, and then we make the decision to move forward. Okay. And but they have their own ability to access it. But we want to see how it goes. But there could be other departments that utilize it as well.
Have you used it yet?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Yes, we have had some notifying people about some power outages, some water breaks, but also some community events and even trash pickup, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Just trying to catch up on because it's been a while since I've seen you, but you got to the budget season. I know that budget season is never ending. It begins again right away. What's the status of city contracts?
Yes, we are in full swing with the union negotiations. We have 14 city unions in the city, and we have been involved in negotiations now for the past several months. All union contracts expired over the summer. We have reached a tentative agreement with a couple of unions that they're now voting as a union on those contracts. We expect those to be ratified shortly. And, the police, fire, teachers, the ASME unions, those are the bigger ones. And we've been meeting with them regularly, and we're making some real progress on those.
City elections are coming up, and how does that affect you?
This is always a tricky time. I'm up for election. City council, all 11 members of the city council are up for election, and three members of the school committee, three spots for the school committee, as well as electric light, library trustee, the library board. So it's always a tricky time because, all of us need to do our campaigning and make sure that we reach out to voters and do what we need to do on that end. But city business has to take priority. So on weekends, I know myself, councilors, school committee members, we're out campaigning, knocking on doors, going to events. But really, priority when I'm in City Hall, I know all of us feel that way. It's business, business first.
Mm-hmm. What's the relationship between the City Council and the Mayor's Office? In other words, I know that there are formal meetings and there are formal procedures, does the City Council have the ability to say, can we make an appointment? I need to see you about something in my ward or something at large.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was a member of the city council for 8 years prior to becoming mayor, and I have very strong relationships with the city councilors, and I understand their job very well, having done it for 8 years. I have an open door, and we meet on a wide number of issues. Just this afternoon, for example, we're meeting with a couple of councilors. We're talking about a couple of downtown projects, and we meet regularly, a few of us, on downtown issues, Centennial Park issues, and other things that pop up day to day. So we meet regularly. Of course, we have our meetings every other Thursday as a city council. I frequently attend those meetings when certain issues pop up. But I've always looked at it as a partnership. I think more is accomplished when you work together, and the city council is a big part of what takes place in the city, and so far it's worked well.
Okay, this may be a question that's out of line, but I've never asked it of a mayor, but can you informally, if you have something that needs to be talked about or discussed with respect to a ward or whatever, can you informally, and I'm not asking if you've done it, but can you informally get a hold of a counselor and say, can we talk about this, either off the record or on the record? Is that done?
Oh, absolutely. I do that all the time, and I think most mayors probably do. If there's an issue in a ward or there's a project I'm interested in, I certainly want to meet with counselors, explain to them where, what the issues are, what my thoughts on things are, ask them for their opinion. I think that's good government when it works that way, just to see, particularly the ward counselors who we receive a lot of calls from their constituents in their ward. I think it's important for me, and I think really it's the proper way is to reach out to them if there's an issue in their ward and talk about it.
Excellent. All right. Final question for me is Halloween is a week from Saturday, and you got this proximity to haunted happenings over in Salem. And I know you have young children. Any special plans coming up for Halloween in Peabody?
We do have next Thursday night, or actually this Thursday, the 22nd, we are having the Halloween family stroll on Main Street.
Oh, okay.
We close Main Street down.
It's like the baby parade and stuff?
It is. We do a parade, costume parade. We do trick-or-treating around the businesses on Main Street, and we have all kinds of different fun events. We'll have all kinds of food. The restaurants will have different booths out there. So Thursday evening from 5:30 on, we'll have a great event on Main Street.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely. That is Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, you know, Bill, Tim and I, Tim Kearns and I, had North Shore Sports Night last night. We had it back on after a couple of weeks off, and we tried to get a hold of a bunch of coaches and different things. And it's one of those things that didn't work out. A lot of the football teams are practicing at night, but we did talk with Danvers football coach Sean Terrio after their big win. It's up on the website, North Shore Sports Night, and it's on demand. But we also talked with Winthrop coach Sean Driscoll, and as you know, there was an incident a couple of weeks ago that took place that forced the cancellation and forfeiture of one of their games. And I wanted to talk to Coach Driscoll because I know how important this stuff is to him and how devastated he was that something happened on his team. Apparently it was by a younger individual. We didn't even get into that. But what Coach Driscoll talked about last night was great. And then he talked about how there's an education among the kids, the community, the parents, and you know, the team itself, and how the team has come together. Try to put that all in the rearview mirror, take it as a learning lesson, and then move on. But the big thing is, it's still uncharted territory, Bill. I don't know exactly what happened, and I don't even care to get into it. But apparently, the idea of social media has reared its ugly head again in some of the negative stuff that can go on. So Coach Driscoll was very eloquent in praising all the kids who have worked so hard and do the right thing. And I think that's the important thing to come out of there. Also from Swampscott, but so many kids do the right thing. And he wanted to make sure that people knew that it's an isolated incident, bad, misfortunate, and stupid. But it's over and done with, and the kids are moving on. And it's a life's learning lesson for them.
Yeah, and I may not have this right, and the Swampscott thing did involve members of a team, and this thing apparently, and I could be wrong, is involved, say, one student, and it impacted the entire team by the forfeiture. So now, whether that's right or wrong, that I'm not going to argue that it's over and done with, and that's fine. But you're right. I mean, Coach Driscoll is a quality person, very high quality person. Not only a high quality person, but a great coach. And I'm glad you got him on. I know I was thinking that he had a pretty good story to tell, or an interesting story to tell. about that, and that he would bring it into another level in the discussion. So that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. When I emailed him, I said, you know, I don't, you know, what if you want to come on, please do. And I said, what we always try to do ever since I've known you, Bill, is to accentuate the positive, especially when dealing with kids. And I didn't reference it specifically, but just asked how things were progressing. And he was very eloquent in on how he explained things. You can listen to the interview, of course. I don't want to quote him, but it was great. And you can tell Coach Cirilli, when I talked with Coach Cirilli, when he found out about it a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, he had talked to Coach Driscoll, because Coach Driscoll called Tony Cirilli to tell him we're not going to be able to play you guys. And Tony Cirilli tried very hard to get the kids to be able to play. He talked with the ADs and so on, as did Coach Driscoll, because they didn't want all the kids to suffer on both schools, really, even though Gloucester gets a win. But it's a great rivalry between the two schools. And Tim and I have always considered Winthrop and Gloucester to be sort of sister communities. There are a lot of blue-collar workers, a lot of culture in the city, a lot of, history and tradition, and the kids are tough kids when they play football. And Coach Driscoll, according to Tony Cirilli, Coach Driscoll was very upset that this all happened. So it was great last night to have the positive spin. It's over and done with. Nobody died, and nobody is – I don't know that anybody's going to be prosecuted. I certainly hope not. So put it in the rearview mirror. Winthrop comes back, and they play very well, and they beat a tough Saugus team the other day, and they're looking to win another one and hopefully make the playoffs. So, as you mentioned, I love talking to Coach Driscoll. He is a quality guy, and it's great. You know, if I had a son who was eligible to play football, I'd want him to play for Coach Driscoll, certainly.
Yeah, not some of these other coaches we talked to, just Coach Driscoll, right?
Yeah, well.
No, that's a joke. That's a joke, folks. That's just a joke. That's a cheap joke. All right. But yeah, I totally agree with you. All right.
Anyway, you know what? There is one coach I would not want my kids to play for, but I think he retired 30 years ago. So we're okay.
All right. There you go. And I guess that coach is nameless, Richard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's nameless, and I'm not even – yes.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Well,
I really did forget his name, so we're okay.
All right. Yes, he's not being polite here or sensitive to the coach's family. He just forgot. All right, well, that's Rick Moore, and I'm Bill Newell, and thanks so much for being with us on this Tuesday. Enjoy the day. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.